And no matter where you are listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in your lunch hour. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com or Spotify or Apple. And we always love for you to let us know and join the conversation, 844-967-2789. So we have already started talking about this Wisconsin Supreme Court race. We're going to continue talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. But I would like to find more interesting ways to talk about it, because just reminding you every day of how important it is probably gets a little old. So I thought it might be interesting to get some background on how we got here and how this nonpartisan race for a position that is supposed to be very objective has become so partisan in Wisconsin. And so here to talk us through is someone who knows a thing or two about the influence of money on our democracy. Matt Rothschild is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and author of 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Matthew Rothschild.
Thanks, Chris, for having me on. Really appreciate it.
So this is the first time he's on many other civic media shows, and so I'm sure you probably have heard him before on Dueling Tangents or Devil's Advocates, but first time on my show. So welcome. We're so happy to have you here.
Well, it's a thrill, and you're doing a great job. And I love the expansion of civic media. Really important for democracy in Wisconsin to have a diverse media, especially on talk radio.
Absolutely. We very much agree, and we're very happy to be here. And so I guess, so I'm relatively new back to Wisconsin. I grew up here, grew up in Madison, left in 2003, came back in 2020, and it was not that I was paying attention that closely to Wisconsin politics as a child slash preteen, but very different place. And it seems like what I've gathered from my time in the newsroom at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, my time running As Goes Wisconsin, that something shifted, and one of those things is how partisan, and not even trying to hide it anymore, these Wisconsin Supreme Court races have become. And so I thought you'd be a good person to ask, like, was it always like this, or did something shift?
No, it wasn't always like this. And you're right, Chris, to uphold the ideal of independent, nonpartisan judiciary, where judges and Supreme Court justices don't let their personal biases or their political preferences enter into how they decide cases. That's the ideal. We should try to get back to that ideal. But that ideal has kind of gone down the tubes, and it started really in the mid 2000s. The race that I pinpoint is 2007, where a lawyer in Madison named Linda Clifford was challenging Annette Ziegler. I happen to know Linda Clifford. She was a neighbor of mine.
Oh, wow.
And I saw her at the grocery store one day in the midst of her campaign, and I asked, "How's it going?" And she said, "I'm just getting killed by all this outside money." And so I just looked up what happened in 2007. And as a baseline, I went to 2003, which was the previous Wisconsin Supreme Court race between Justice Rogensack and Ed Brunner. There was only $24,500 spent in outside money in 2003. By 2007, it was more than 100 times that. It was $3 million.
Wow.
That's dramatic. Yeah. And what happened was Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the leading business lobby in the state and the biggest contributor to Republican candidates in this state for decades, decided that they could essentially buy seats on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So they poured in $2.2 million to get Annette Ziegler to stay on the court. And Democratic groups were kind of caught flat-footed. I mean, they ended up coughing up about $400,000, but they got way outspent by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Wisconsin Club for Growth. And that really set the table for the next really grotesque exercise in Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce money, when they paid a person named Michael Gableman, who may be familiar to a lot of your listeners, in 2008, to run against Lewis Butler, the first African-American jurist on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And they just slimed him with some of the most racist ads we ever saw in Wisconsin. And that's when things really got cemented in place, that now you have candidates who are backed by Democrats and candidates who are backed by Republicans in the big business lobby.
And that is the because I only learned about that specifically. Since I knew less about the Ziegler case, and I had heard, you know, because obviously Michael Gableman has been in the news a lot in the last 2 years. And for someone who, for a lot of people, because our political memory, I think, can be short because things happen fast and there's always a new thing to be talking about. But it sounds like his campaign, also backed by WMC, and I'm assuming it was even more money than even the one prior with the Ziegler race. But like you said, it's not only that they were subversively, subjectively racist, they also were outright lies in his ads, right? And wasn't there, even once he was elected narrowly, like he was potentially going to face disciplinary action, but the people who would have had to enforce disciplinary action was the Supreme Court.
Right. There was a complaint filed that he had run an unethical campaign and should be disciplined by the and who disciplines a justice, but the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the members of that court and his right wing colleagues didn't want to discipline him for it. So he got off scot-free there. Similarly, you know, they haven't wanted to recuse themselves, some justices who have conflicts of interest, and the League of Women Voters and other groups like the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and Common Cause have urged the Wisconsin Supreme Court to get tighter recusal rules when they have conflicts of interest. But neither Gableman nor David Prosser would recuse themselves, for instance, in the John Doe 2 case in 2015 against Scott Walker, and they had benefited to the tune of more than $1 million spent on their behalf by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which was being investigated in the John Doe 2 case. So they had an obvious conflict of interest. But you know who wrote their conflict of interest policy at the Wisconsin Supreme Court? Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Wisconsin Realtors Association, two of the biggest donors to the conservative and reactionary justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It's a really sad story because under Chief Justice Shirley Abramson, for a long time, Wisconsin's Supreme Court had a great reputation as one of the best state Supreme Courts in the country. And our reputation has just gone down the tubes over the last 10 years.
We're talking to Matt Rothschild, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and also author of 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin, which I own. I think that was a Christmas gift that my mom gave me last year. And
bless her heart.
And I feel like a lot of vitriol gets pointed to the Tavern League when it comes to lobbying firms in Wisconsin. But it sounds like when you actually pull back the curtain, not that they don't have a lot of influence, but it really comes back to WMC as far as how much influence. But it feels like not a lot of people know that unless you are a political junkie, specifically a political junkie of Wisconsin politics.
Yeah, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is the biggest player in politics here in Wisconsin. They've spent more than $28 million since 2010 to elect Republicans to the state legislature and to the governorship, far and away the biggest spender. They're also the biggest lobbyist in the state capitol. I mean, the Tavern League is important, too, especially on bills relating to alcohol and maybe on legalizing pot. I mean, maybe they're opposing that. I don't know. But they're a big player in the anything about, you know, alcohol, obviously. But and they were very upset about the COVID regulations because it was hurting their businesses. I get that. But as powerful as the Tavern League is, they're nothing as compared to Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce actually wasn't totally ideological in the way it is now. When I got to Wisconsin in 1983, I mean, I've been here four decades now, and just over the last 20 years, they've just been increasingly an arm of the Republican Party.
So, Matt, what is the WMC's goal?
Yeah, that was my question.
No regulations. We can pollute everything. More tax cuts for businesses. And I find Wisconsin's Club for Growth such an oxymoron because they want to send us back 100 years. We're not moving forward.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that group.
Yeah, they were a big group. Again, they were one of the groups that was being investigated in 2015 by the John Doe 2 prosecutor, because what Walker was doing, he was going around the state and around the country getting super rich right wingers to write six and seven figure checks to either Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce or Wisconsin Club for Growth. And then Walker would tell Wisconsin Club for Growth how to spend that money. So they've been a player intermittently here in Wisconsin and were a big player during the Walker years. What does Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce want? What a lot of big businesses want, which is, if we look at what are the obstacles in the way of businesses maximizing profits to the detriment of society and the environment and workers and consumers, there are only two things that stand in the way. One is government regulations, reasonable regulations on what corporations can do, and the other is unions. And what happened during the Walker administration was they went after both. They destroyed public sector unions and with so-called right to work went after private sector unions. So unionization has dropped by 50% here in Wisconsin. And then, you know, when there's Republicans in charge, as there were during the Walker administration, they just took a sledgehammer to any regulations on the environment and on other issues, just to help corporations. You know, that's Walker's first thing he said when he got elected. He changed the sign to open for business. And so that's, so Wisconsin Manufacturers Commerce has been very clever. You know, not only are they electing people to the legislature and to the governor's office, they've been electing people to the Supreme Court here in Wisconsin, so that the Supreme Court will rubber stamp any anti-regulation and anti-labor move that the legislature passes.
So in it feels like similar to any race where we see more and more money, like you can have your morals and feel like this is wrong. And we wish that there, you know, Citizens United wasn't a thing and that this much money wasn't influencing our campaign. But as Democrats feel like they need to play the game there ultimately, because, I mean, like I said, I saw a whole thread on how already involved, even before the primary, Wisconsin Democrat Party is in this race that is supposed to be nonpartisan. And so is there a way to roll it back and be, have this these races, so long as we're electing them, be actually objective and nonpartisan? Or is it basically too far down the rabbit hole?
Well, right now we're in the midst of a huge arms race as far as money in politics here in Wisconsin. And that's because of Citizens United, the terrible Supreme Court case in 2010 that said rich people can spend as much as they want and corporations can spend as much as they want to tell us who to vote for and who not to vote for. We've got to overturn that. You're right. And the best way to do that is pass a constitutional amendment that says corporations aren't persons, you know, and actually money isn't actually speech, which seems pretty reasonable. The funny thing is, in Wisconsin, as recently as 2009, we had a bill passed in the legislature signed by Governor Doyle called the Impartial Justice Act, which we worked hard on, as did Common Cause and the League of Women Voters. And that gave us public financing for campaigns. It didn't do anything about the outside groups, but at least the campaigns had a limit on what they were going to spend and decided to take public financing. But as soon as Walker got in, they threw that one out too. So until we get a legislature and a governor that are committed to campaign finance reform, there's nothing we're going to be able to do now here in Wisconsin. And also because of the horrible U.S. Supreme Court decisions, there's a limit as to what we could even do if we had the legislature that we dreamed of and the governor that we dreamed of.
Throws water bottle across the studio. All right. Matt Rothschild is going to stick with us through the break. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Maybe we'll hear more about what the work is that you do over there and how important it is when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Matt Rothschild, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And we were talking about kind of the history of how things started to shift and the nonpartisan Wisconsin Supreme Court races became so unapologetically partisan and how much money has influenced them now. And I'm assuming that if you look at the bar graph, similar to all of our campaigns, whether it's governor, senators, each year is just more and more and more money. And it's a record-breaking year each time.
Pretty much. I mean, we just posted a bar graph on our website about the record spending just last month, or the lead up to last month in the campaigns. And in the spending by outside groups this year was five times what the spending was back in 2010. I mean, it's just unbelievable. $93 million spent by outside groups here in Wisconsin for the governor's race and the attorney general's race and state legislature. I'm not even talking about the U.S. Senate race either. This doesn't even count that, which was over $100 million too. And we saw how ugly and racist the ads were for Ron Johnson, both by Ron Johnson himself and by this wrongly named Wisconsin Truth Pack that Diane Hendricks and Richard Eline founded and funded. They spent about $20 million, $28 million, I think, to slime Mandela Barnes in some of the most racist and ugly ways that I've ever seen. So, yeah, I mean, everyone listening knows that your screens were just splattered with mud by these outside groups over the last several months. And it was pretty evenly split, actually, between groups supporting Republicans and groups supporting Democrats, with the Republican groups having about a $4 million advantage. But, you know, in a democracy, it shouldn't be a tug of war between a handful of billionaires on the right and a handful of billionaires on the left. In a real democracy, we'd all have an equal say. We'd all have an equal tug on that rope, and we just don't. And I think everyone listening understands that.
Well, it's not only that, because it's also the amount, when we say outside money, it's people who are trying to influence, who do not live in Wisconsin, and trying to influence races that those of us who do live here have to live with the consequences of those elections. And it's speaks to a bigger thing as far as power and control of who, and why are they so invested in the first place in statewide elections of a state that they don't live in?
Yeah, it's crazy that there's no limit on that. And our politics have just become so nationalized over the last, you know, 10 years, mm-hmm. that big liberals and big conservatives, whenever there's a swing state or an important race in a swing state, they decide to get out their checkbook. But, you know, before 2015, no one in Wisconsin could give more than $10,000 to political parties. But then the Republicans and Walker rewrote that law in 2015 to totally tear down that ceiling. So now there's no limit on what a rich individual in Wisconsin or outside of Wisconsin can donate to the Republican Party of Wisconsin or the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And then, like Michaels's brothers, who gave $1.5 million each to the Republican Party of Wisconsin, the Republican Party of Wisconsin then turned around and gave $3 million in change to Michael. So it was just, you know, they were using the parties as a laundromat.
Well, I guess that's a good segue to, for anyone who is not familiar with Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, what is the work that you do, that the group does, and if people want to either get involved or learn more about what they can even do if they care about how this much money is eroding the average person's power when it comes to voting, here's your chance to recruit some people.
Well, you know, I just talk and write. I got the easy job. Our staff, we got a great staff of researchers, and they track the money in politics, both the direct contributions to campaigns and then the so-called independent expenditures done by these groups that tell you explicitly who to vote for. And then we also track, or try to track down, and put at least an estimate on the money spent by the dark money groups. So that's one of the main things we do. We have a website that's unique and user-friendly, where you can just look up, you know, a big contributor you know, or if you think your neighbor who's got a sign out in his or her yard, you want to know how much money they're giving to whichever candidate, you can put their name in the on our website, and boom, you get all that information. So it's really helpful for concerned citizens and for the media. And then we just advocate on a broad range of pro-democracy reforms, of course, campaign finance reform being one, banning gerrymandering, defending voting rights across the board.
So then, going back to your book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin, because I think you and I did talk about this about a year ago, because it came out last year, right?
Yeah, last year at about this time.
And so in the year since you published it, is there a different priority? Would you, is there anything else you'd add to the list? Or what do you think is the number one? If we could only pick one of the 12, what would you pick?
Well, that's really hard. But the interesting thing is, and I'm not going to answer it, but the thing I couldn't discuss in my book that I've talked a lot and written about over the last year is this anti-democracy movement in the country and in the state. You know, the total denialists about what happened in November 2020, you know, the people who still, you know, they're like Japanese soldiers 10 years after the war won't recognize that Joe Biden actually won the election fair and square. And the white nationalism that's part of this anti-democracy movement, the Trump cult, the irrationalism behind it, the propaganda from right-wing media, that's really something that I wasn't able to focus on because I was just reading page proofs when January 6th happened. But it's a real threat, I think, still, even as Trump is floundering. The white nationalist movement isn't going away. The reactionary movement, what I call the anti-democracy movement, isn't going away. So that's something I wanted to get into the book, but couldn't.
Yeah.
Matt, I'm curious, because you are surrounded by all of this, unfortunately, really bad news about our democracy. Do you chant or do you meditate or something, or do you just go scream into the void when you can't take it anymore?
Well, I have a wonderful wife of 37 years who is a great person to be with. I have hobbies. I birdwatch all the time. I go out in the yard and chop wood. And so, you know, I take care of myself. I'm not, and I don't believe in being a workaholic either. So I try to take my weekends off. I'm trying to take parts of Fridays off. I'm going to go watch a soccer game as soon as I get off here.
Nice.
So, yeah, I try to take care of myself.
That is important. Self-care. Hashtag self-care. All right, Matt Rothschild, thank you so much for joining us today. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You can actually catch him at Turner Hall for a panel on voting rights and human rights this Saturday at 10:30 to noon.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We'll definitely have you back. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure. You too, Chris.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, the guys from Wisconsin Drunken History will be here. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
My name is Tia Watson. You're a babe.